John Wood's energy is so infectious and uncontainable that he seems positively destined to change our world for the better. Through an organization called Room to Read, which John founded in the year 2000, his mission is to open public libraries and schools in the developing world. They estimate that about 3 million children in Asia and Africa have already been direct recipients of his efforts to improve education and lift people out of poverty.
What I find most inspiring is when I go visit a school or a library and a parent will say to me, you know, I helped dig the foundation of this school. Or a parent will say, I helped build these bookshelves in the library. There's a certain very strong sense of pride on the part of those parents that this has not been done for them. This is something that they have actually taken ownership of.
Dozens of elementary school age students, some seated around a table, others on the floor, at a Room to Read library in Cambodia. The kids are all neatly dressed in white shirts. They eagerly reach for large, colorful picture books in the local language, which are displayed at child level.
Many times the communities actually approach us, but we are willing to act as a catalyst. So what we're doing with the community is to say, great, you tell us what you can contribute, and we'll tell you what we can contribute, and let's meet somewhere in the middle. In other words, we don't want to build the school or the library for the local people. We want to build it with them in a partnership. So I'll give you an example. That's a beautiful story from South Africa of a community out in the Eastern Cape, very poor area of South Africa. 98% of the kids who attend this school are black, and they'd never had a library. They had over 1,000 kids showing up. They never had a library. And our local team offered to help them. And they said, great, but where can we put it? We don't have room. Can you build us a separate building? And our team said, we don't have money in our budget to build you a separate building. And they brainstormed for a while. And one day the headmistress, the principal of the school, she said, I have this office. Why don't we turn my office into the children's library? And the teacher said, oh, no, you can't do that. You're the head. You know, that's where we have our meetings. That's where. And she said, we're running a failing school. If we have a school that doesn't have a library, we're failing. So she literally gave up her office. And I hear stories like that all the time of mothers in Nepal who will tell me that they carried 100-pound bags of cement 2 hours up a steep mountainside before sunrise as their contribution to their school. I was at a school in Laos last year where they asked every family to donate 10,000 kip, just over $1 to help fund the school. And they had 3,000 families. These are poor farm families each put money in. We've had farmers who donate bags of grain to a community stockpile, and that community stockpile is then sold off. And it helps to buy some of the bricks and mortar.
John Wood is a born entrepreneur. By the time we caught up with him for this interview, Room to Read had opened nearly 10,000 libraries and 1,000 schools, mostly in underprivileged villages in developing nations. His skills as a builder and promoter were honed at Microsoft, where he worked as the company's director of business development in China, until quitting at age 35 to enter the nonprofit world.
I joined Microsoft in 1991, and the company at the time was growing at a very, very rapid rate. And a lot of what I did with Microsoft was help us to develop our international markets across Asia. And I went on this really fateful holiday once when I was looking for an escape from Microsoft. I went off to the mountains of Nepal for 18 days to trek as an ideal escape from work.
How high up did you get in the land of the tallest mountain in the world?
About 18,000 feet was the highest that we got to, the famous Thonglo Pass up along the Tibet-Nepal border. Beautiful part of the world, but also just absolutely crushing poverty. And life is quite tough for people up in that part of the world, being as isolated as they are. And I think, you know, with poverty, it hits the children the hardest. And what I saw in Nepal was not just poverty, it was poverty of opportunity, that kids who wanted to go to school, who wanted to learn to read, didn't have schools, didn't have libraries, didn't have books. And so it was a real contrast to my life where I was making a lot of money at a young age, living this, you know, glamorous expat life as a Microsoft executive, and then juxtaposed against that were places like Cambodia, Vietnam, Nepal, where you literally had the poorest of the poor.
Tell us a little bit about that trek in Nepal and how it changed your life.
I'll never forget visiting this little school in a village called Bahundanda, Nepal. I'd been invited by the headmaster who I'd met by the side of the trail to go for a tour of the school. And, you know, just absolutely dilapidated conditions. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have seen this in the developing world where you see something that you think is a barn and it's actually a school, just terrible conditions. And this headmaster had 450 students showing up, and he didn't have books. And so, well, how are the kids going to learn to read? And he showed me the school's library, and it was a library in name only. It was a place where, you know, a library could have existed, but it was an empty room without books, without shelves, without desks, without chairs. And the headmaster said something to me that would really change my life forever. He said, "We are too poor to afford education, but until we have education, we'll always be poor." And I think that really sums up the situation for the poorest people in the world, that what a terrible conundrum to be in. Too poor to afford education, but knowing that if your kids don't get educated, they're going to inherit the same poverty that their parents and grandparents have known. So that statement was really sad, but then he said something that was very hopeful. This headmaster said to me, "Perhaps, sir, you will someday come back with books."